Blog Talk Radio.
Week 10 National Football League. You're surely Vinny Moore sitting in the wheels of steel. Here we go once again. Week 10, your fantasy situations are in dire straits. You need assistance. You need guidance. You're going to hear it all today, from what's going on in college football to everything that's going on in the NFL. It is week 10. You're going to hear the sounds of the game. You're going to hear everything kind of encapsulated in 6 minutes, all this and more. Word from friends in Pittsburgh, word from friends in Chicago. What is going on with the Bears at 3-5? What's going on with the Steelers now that Big Ben has thrown for 800-plus yards and 12 touchdowns in 2 weeks? All this and more only on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Now, where do we get you started? We can give you started with your college football love. Maybe down south are concerned about what's going to happen with Ole Miss. Are they out of the mixture? Yeah, that's done. They're done. You're down to the Magnolia State holding on to Mississippi State as their one hope. Everything else is just that hope. For Notre Dame fans, it was a tough road last night. You came back 29 extra points, but not enough to get it done against Arizona State, who put it on you. I mean, 50-plus, and it's a tough way to go to the desert, trust and believe me. I know, but you are our young team. You have plenty of freshmen and sophomores. You'll be back next year. All that talent coming back. Notre Dame will be a prime candidate to make a run next year. Give it up for this year. That is done. All right. Where are we at? Where are we at? We are five past the hour already. 55 left in the ride. Bama, Bayer barely escapes LSU last night. Auburn is just an enigma of some sort. I mean, fumbles galore last night, costing Auburn a game against Texas A&M, a game that probably the most entertaining game of the day. A&M gets it done 41-38. Let's run you down your top 25 in college football, and we'll go from there. How about that? All right. Number 25, Wisconsin takes care of Purdue, 34-16. Number 24, Georgia Tech takes care of NC State, 56-23. West Virginia loses to Texas. Texas is going to get better, y'all. 33-16 in that game. Duke, 22 in the nation, gets its win over Syracuse, 27-10. Clemson, 34-20 over Wake. Georgia, 63-31 over UK. Arizona, 38-20 over Colorado. UCLA, number 18 in the nation, 44-30 over Washington. Baylor puts it on Oklahoma, 48-14. Mississippi, Ole Miss, 40-0 over Presbyterian. That was like playing a JV game. Arizona State, best Notre Dame, 55-31. That 86 points in that football game by the two teams. Number 40, Oklahoma State, 49 over MSU, 37. Let's see, TCU, 41-20 over Kansas State. Alabama squeezes by LSU, 20-13. That was number 5 versus number 16. Oregon, 51-27. Oregon's interesting. A 51-27 win over a ranked Utah team solidifies their position at number 4. Auburn loses to Texas A&M, 41-30. With Auburn being number 3, Oregon being number 4, you can expect a shakeup there. Virginia loses a tough one to Florida State, 34-20. Again, FSU was expected to win by much more than what it did. And number 1, Mississippi State drubs UTM 45-16. So what does this mean for your college playoff picture? Mississippi State will stay at number 1. Florida State will stay at number 2. Number 3 and number 4 is a question mark. Oregon should rise to number 3 easily enough, but who sits now at number 4? Do you just give it to Alabama for the win over LSU? You almost have to. You really almost have to. I mean, unless you're going to reach down to a TCU team, which doesn't have the strength of schedule as in Alabama. So, yeah, that's going to be your top 4. Mississippi State, Florida State. Number 3 will be Oregon. Number 4 will be Alabama. So there you go. There's Nick Saban getting back in the picture once again. Like him or not, it is what it is. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-637-4747 to join the ride. Once again, Blog Talk Radio, we appreciate you. We love you. There's nothing you can do about it. All this and more headed your way. Week 10 National Football League, we got your VIN picks. We've got the segment on from Dr. Nunu on, what's this week's segment? I've drawn a blank. Ah, size matters. Look at the NBA, the big guys and little guys in the history of the NBA. Some of them you know, some you don't know. But for those of you who are first-timers to the show, to get some insight into some of the names maybe you haven't heard in a lot of years. I know that there's a tiny Archibald sighting in this thing, which is kind of cool, as well as some of the big boys, you know, the Shaquille O'Neals and so on and so forth. All that and more on its way for you. Let's see. Are we having fun yet? Let's take a look. Anything in hot stove baseball we need to talk about yet? It does not look like there's much going on in the world of baseball that is even remotely even talking about. Hockey is at its apex at this point. It's doing its thing. If you are a hockey fan in middle America right now, it's a bit of a mosh pit. No teams are really blowing the doors off. And lo and behold, the last time this happened, 1994, a team from Canada, Calgary, actually found a way to get to the playoffs and go on a run. Calgary is just doing that right now. 8-5-2. I don't know. And Montreal all of a sudden is getting strong, getting hot. The last time you had two Canadian teams really start to push and push and push, you got to go back to the Gretzky days when that happened. Pittsburgh is the Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's take a look at your playoff standing and see what we're looking at right now. If the season were to have ended today, what would it look like? Let's see. Pittsburgh sits atop the East at 10-2, 10-2-1, followed by Tampa Bay, 10-3-1. Montreal right there, 10-4-1. The Detroit Red Wings playing very strong at 7-3-4. In the West, it is Anaheim, 10-3-2, Nashville, 9-3-2, Vancouver, 10-5, and lo and behold, there are those Calgary Flames, 9-5-2. The Chicago Blackhawks just outside the playoff picture at 7-6-1. They have hit a skid waiting for their offensive team to show up because their power play is pretty bad right now. But it's Chicago, and they'll always find a way to get it done. You know us, we're Chicago and Midwestern homers, so we don't know any better. But kudos to the Calgary Flames. That's a fun team to watch now. Gary's finally got them playing faster than they've ever played before. They were a kind of a lumbering squad where they just kind of played station-to-station hockey. And most teams just could just simply outskate them. That's not the case right now. They're playing good fundamental hockey, and that's why they're being successful. So kudos to them. Also in your News of the Weird segment today. We troll these things looking for all kinds of weird things from time to time. And every now and then we find something that is just an oddity. Today it's about a beauty pageant. In fact, let's do the segment right now. Why not? It'll just be a little ignorant, a little fun, but hey, it's News of the Weird, right? This is what we do. We do News of the Weird. All right, that said, where we at? Here we go. All right. At 48 left and right, this is Vinny Moore's News of the Weird. Story says, baby beauty. Amanda Collins, 28, took a beauty pageant mom to the next level, this being down. Earlier this year, when she entered her daughter, Luna, in Britain's UK Princess and Prince International, based entirely on Luna's ultrasound scan at age 20 weeks. You heard me right. Said Collins, as soon as I saw her image on the screen, I knew she was a stunner. Collins officials had accepted the scan application, and 6 weeks after birth, Luna was named runner-up in the Princess and Prince. And on top of that, 4 weeks later, runner-up Miss Dreams UK. All she has to do, said Collins, is lie in my arms and smile as I stroll down the catwalk. This was the answer to a beauty pageant. An ultrasound scan of the interior workings of the woman. I'm not going to speak for anyone else who was part of this, but seriously? Where do you go with that one, all right? I don't know that you can even fathom what that could possibly mean in terms of reality in today's world. And that's this week's News of the Weird. I almost want to apologize. Back to your fantasy sports. All right. For those of you playing fantasy sports, here's your deal. You've got the rankings out today, top 10 for all the categories as we do every single week. And for those of you that should now be at the apex or edge of either trying to make the playoffs or in your playoff pitch right now, this is critical information for you because you'll need to know who to start, who to sit, who to play, the top to the bottom of which one. And if you don't have to face that guy, you don't want to face him. If you can play the guy, the hot guy, then you'll play the hot guy. Today we start with the top 10 receivers in the NFL this week. All this is based on matchup. Number 10, Alshon Jeffrey in Chicago. Number 9, Dez Bryant. Number 8, Julio Jones. Number 7, Randall Cobb. Number 6, Emmanuel Sanders. 5, Calvin Johnson. If Megatron plays, that'll be huge for Detroit. Number 4, Jeremy Maclin. Number 3, Jordy Nelson. Number 2, Demaryius Thomas. Number 1 this week, and has been for the last 2 weeks, Antonio Brown of Pittsburgh. That man is a grown man, as they say, and a beast playing almost incarnate right now. So there is your love for your wide receivers. What did we just close? I think we just closed something we actually needed. All right, top 10 running backs today. And most is all, again, driven by matchups. Number 10, Mark Ingram in New Orleans. Number 9, Eddie Lacy. Got to love Green Bay today. Number 9, Ronnie Hillman in Denver. Number 8 is Ronnie Hillman. Number 9, Eddie Lacy. Number 10, Mark Ingram. Number 7 is Andre Ellington. Number 6, Le'Veon Bell. Number 5, LeSean McCoy. Number 4, Marshawn Lynch. Number 3, Jamaal Charles. Number 2, Matt Forte. And number 1, DeMarco Murray gets the nod. And of course, he's got Jacksonville. They're playing that one in London. All right. If you've got them, start them. If you don't have them, let's hope you're not playing them. All right. Let's talk about tight ends. Tight end runs today looks like this. Number 10, Charles Clay in Miami. Number 9, Larry Donald in New York. Number 8, Delanie Walker. Number 7, Jason Witten in the Dallas. Number 5, Owen Daniels. Number 4, Travis Kelce. Number 3, Martellus Bennett. Also number 3, Greg Olsen. And number 2, Julius Thomas in Denver. Number 1, as often is the case when he's healthy, Jimmy Graham, New Orleans, as they get San Francisco tonight. It is hard to imagine how the Niners are going to do tonight against New Orleans, but it'll be fun talking, fun to see exactly how that plays itself out. So there's your tight end love. Let's talk your defenses now. If you've got your defense, you got him, start him. If you don't have him, stay away if you can. Number 10, the Baltimore Ravens. Number 9, the Kansas City Chiefs. Number 8, the Miami Dolphins. Number 7, the Eagles. Number 6, the Bills. Number 5, the Lions. Number 4, the Broncos. Number 3, the Cardinals. Number 2, the Cowboys. And the number 1 matchup defense this week is the Seattle Seahawks going against what is hapless at this point in the New York Giants. Don't know how the Giants are going to play this one out, but it does not look good for the Giants in Seattle this weekend. We'll see how that plays itself out. Then again, the Giants are a bit of an enigma. You never know which version is going to show up. To the kickers now. You've got 10 down, Shane Graham, Danny Carpenter, Phil Dawson, Carlos Santos, that's in Kansas City, Chandler Cartenzano, that's our buddy in Arizona, number 5, Mason Crosby, number 4, Danny Bailey, number 3, Cody Parkey, number 2, Stephen Hauschka, love Hauschka, and number 1, Justin Tucker in Baltimore. That is matchup driven because they get the Tennessee Titans today. All this and a whole bunch more. Let's go on. Let's see, we're giving your running back love. Did we give your quarterback love yet? I don't know if we did our quarterbacks. Did we do our quarterbacks? Doesn't look like that. That's the one that we seem to have lost. Let's get back to your quarterbacks. How about that? Did we tell you Antonio Brown was a grown-ass man? Let me reiterate that for those of you who have any doubts whatsoever. That brother right there, if you got him, you start him. If he's in free agency, you pick him up today. All right, your top 10 quarterbacks today, Colin Kaepernick. Number 9, Matthew Stafford. Number 8, Matt Ryan. Number 7, Jay Cutler. That's all matchup driven. Number 6, Russell Wilson. Number 5, Carson Palmer. Number 4, Drew Brees. Number 3, Ben Roethlisberger. Number 2, Aaron Rodgers. You know he's playing the Bears in that sucky defense. And number 1, Peyton Manning. Denver gets Oakland today. The 0-8 Oakland. All right, so there's your fantasy love for those of you playing in the fantasy world. If you're going to DraftKings, remember, use your own money. Don't take the kids' college fund. Don't be stupid with your funds. All right, we've had a couple of those knuckleheads that have done that, and it never, ever goes well. It just never goes well. So that's your fantasy love. So now you've got your college love. You've got your fantasy love. Nothing going on in hot stove baseball. Nothing going on with the NHL. It's just getting started and getting ramped up. You've got your conference leaders, and it is 18-18 past the hour. 40 left in the ride. More and more of the weird stuff coming out of places in the UK as well as the world of soccer. We're not going to touch on that because the bottom line is we're not going to give 15 seconds of fame to someone who just wants to run the field and be seen. We're just not going to do that. All right. What's your thoughts on the college football playoff system? Mississippi State, Florida State. Auburn's not going to be number 3 now. Oregon's going to be number 3. Alabama will be number 4. So for those in the Crimson Tide, well, they've got to love the fact that Auburn found a way to lose to A&M yesterday. I mean, the highlights alone are almost embarrassing as to how they lost. Texas A&M didn't even have Kenny Hill starting a quarterback. They used a backup and found a way to eke out a win against the number 3 team in the land, 41-38, because inside the red zone, Auburn could not hold on to the football. Not a good look by any stretch of the imagination at all. In the meantime, Oregon puts 51 on Utah, and next thing you know, the Oregon Ducks look like they're sitting in the catbird seat. How will Oregon handle Mississippi State's defense if it comes down to that? How will Florida State handle so much pressure from Mississippi State team that it looks like it is a world beater right now? How will this all play out? And where does a TCU, a one-loss TCU team, fit into this now with the strength of schedule getting better? What do you think? 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747 to get into the conversation in the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Yours truly sitting here on the wheels. All right. We're giving you your NHL love. So now I guess we can just focus on the VIN picks. We got 20 minutes of VIN picks with all kinds of glitz and hype. And as always, we do our segment from Dr. Vicky Nunu. This week's Size Matter section takes a look at the big guys, little men in the NBA. All right. Let's knock that out while we can. After that, we'll pay some bills and get right back to you. All this and more. Back in a few. Love you guys.
Good morning, everybody. This is Vinny Moore, your host of the fastest 60 Minutes of Sports, alongside Dr. Vicky Nunu, who over the next few weeks will be basically delving back into some of the backstories of some of our stars and stars in the past that we've loved and maybe seemingly have lost. All that said, I'd like to welcome Dr. Vicky Nunu to the show. Good morning, Doc.
Welcome back to another segment of the backstories on the fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. This week, seeing as basketball season is once again at its premiere, I'd like to bring to your attention to some of the basketball greats. If you're a fan at all, then you will definitely know of the greats I'll be speaking of. If not, then maybe like me, you may be learning something about them for the first time. But even as a little-to-no fan like myself, or if you've had to have heard of some of these tall giants, such as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or Magic Johnson, or Shaquille O'Neal, and Kobe Bryant, or the not-so-large in size, but just as large in heart, such as Spud Webb, Tiny Nate Archibald, or Bugsy Bogues. So let's start with our giants. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, standing 7 feet 2 inches and 267 pounds, averaged 24.6 points and 3.6 assists per game. That's a total of 38,307 points and 5,660 assists throughout his career. No one has ever scored more than him, blocked more than him, blocked more points, or won more MVP awards, played in All-Star games, or logged more seasons. His list of personal and team accomplishments is perhaps the most awesome in league history. Or, how about 325-pound, 7-foot, 1-inch Shaquille O'Neal? He is one of the heaviest to ever play NBA. Shaq's individual achievements include many MVP awards, Rookie of the Year awards, 15 All-Star Game selections, 14 All-NBA Team selections, 3 NBA All-Defensive Team selections, and in 2000, he was one of 3 players to win All-Star, MVP, and Final MVP awards in the same year. He ranked 6th of all time in points, scored 5th in field goals, 13th in rebounds, and 7th in blocks, largely due to his ability just to dunk the basketball. And we can't forget the great Mr. Kobe Bryant, only 6 feet 6 inches and 205 pounds, winner of 5 NBA championships. This alone speaks volumes of this young man's career, including 16 all-time stars, 15-time member All-NBA team, 15-time member of the All-Defensive team. He was selected to start every All-Star game, winning the All-Star MVP award 4 times. At age 34, Bryant became the youngest in league history to reach 30,000 career points. Now, I would like to make mention of some of the little men with just as many big achievements in basketball. And I use the term little lightly, as some of these men are not so little, but up against some of these other gentle giants, they only look smaller in size. That is, until you see them play. You have players such as Tyrone Muggsy-Bogues, only 5 feet 3 inches and 136 pounds, but scored 6,858 points and assisted 6,726 points. He played alongside one of the original two tallest players, 7 foot, 7 inch, 200 pound Manute Bol. Their difference in height was 28 inches, but that didn't leave him discouraged to play the game he loved. He believed in himself despite his disadvantage of his height, and he ignored the naysayers due to his hard work, drive, and determination. Muggsy went on to have a successful basketball career. Or what about Spud Webb? Only 5 feet, 7 inches, 133 pounds, but his 13-year career gave him 8,072 points and 4,342 assists. Winning the NBA Dunk Contest in 1986, he was the shortest player to participate in the Slam Dunk Contest. And then we have Kelvin Murphy. He was 5 feet 9 inches in height and weighed 165 pounds, has 17,949 points and 4,402 assists. He was the shortest player to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, as well as he appeared in at least one of the All-Star games. And while we're speaking of tinyness, this player really isn't so tiny. He stands 6 feet 1 inch, but only 150 pounds. Tiny, Nate Archibald, in his 14 years of playing basketball, earned 16,481 points and 6,476 assists. Tiny was a willing passer and an adequate shooter from mid-range, but however, it was his quickness, speed, and shiftiness that made him difficult to guard in the open court. He would regularly drive past defenders on his way to the basket. He was the only player to lead the league in scoring and assists in the same season. Other mini giants and mini greats in the basketball, but I think you get the picture. So I ask you this, does size really matter? I'm Dr. Vicki Noonan. I want to thank you for joining us today on the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. But before I go, I want to remind you on November 11th to stop and take a moment to reflect on the great men and women that have served and are still serving our great country. Without them, we wouldn't be the lands of the proud and free. Have a great day, everyone. I turn you back now to the greatest host and pregame show, my baby, Mr. Vinny Moore.
Thank you, Doc. 33-33 left in the ride, so there you go. Maybe you didn't know anything about as much about the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's or Shaquille O'Neal's of the world. And certainly
welcome
the
back
Tiny
to
Archibald's.
The fourth season of the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports.
Kill you.
I'm Vicki Nunu, and you're listening to my baby, your host, Vinny Moore.
All a little premature there, just a little bit. That's okay. All right, let's do this one more time, and we'll pay some bills.
Welcome back to the fourth season of the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. I'm Vicki Nunu, and you're listening to my baby, your host, Vinny Moore.
Great horny toad, a trespasser, getting footy prints all over my desert. Yeah, mule, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've been eating Egg McMuffins since 1984, but when I saw Taco Bell made a waffle taco,
I figured I would get with the times.
So I got a haircut and I got some tighter pants, lost my flip phone, got a smartphone, even took down my Loverboy poster. Now I'm eating waffle tacos and AM Crunchwraps,
and I just made like $700 on Craigslist.
Move on from your old McDonald's breakfast with Taco Bell's exciting new breakfast menu.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Here we go. Your VIN picks are ready to go, rock and roll. Week 10, if you're up in your leagues, great. If you're not up in your leagues, in your survivor post, if you're still alive, this may be of value to you. Otherwise, sit back and enjoy the fun that's associated with the VIN picks Week 10. 20 minutes of fun. Here you go.
Week 10, the National Football League. Here are the VIN picks. In the NFL, the only thing that is certain is nothing is certain. As you said before the season, that entering Week 10, the Arizona Cardinals would have the NFL's best record, and the Cleveland Browns would be playing for first place. You'd either have been fitted for a straitjacket or taken for rehab, quite possibly both. And yet, here we are with the 7-1 Cardinals hosting the giant-killing St. Louis Rams and the Browns dueling the Cincinnati Bengals for first place in the AFC North. As they've done before every week, the team, the crew, and all the riders get together, and we put these picks together. We gather them all for Week 10 against yours truly, Vinny Moore, host of the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. Here's what we've got to say. The 5-3 Cleveland Browns on Thursday will go to Cincinnati at the time 5-2-1. You all saw the game. Cleveland drubbed and rolled Cincinnati. There may not be a bigger surprise in the NFL this year than the Cleveland Browns. In fact, the AFC North leading writer Andrea Hengst believes that the Browns will keep their improbable run going through the weekend and many weeks to come, predicting something of an upset in the Battle of Ohio.
Guess she got what she asked for. Been picked, the Cleveland Browns. Kansas City at Buffalo. Speaking of surprise teams in 2014, break up the Buffalo Bills. Just like the fans in Cleveland, those in Western New York have suffered through years of mediocrity and worse. It's been a long, dark 14 years since the Bills' last playoff appearance. The 5-3 Bills have the team's best chance in years of ending that dry spell. But as rookie wide receiver Sammy Watkins told Chris Brown of the team's website, the Bills know there's no margin for error in the AFC East, where three of the four teams are 5-3 or better. We've got to finish this quarter 4-0 or 3-1, Watkins said. So we've got to keep our being consistent and stay in tune, keeping the push on through with this season as we go forward. This week, the Bills host the red-hot Kansas City Chiefs, winners of three straight. In many ways, the teams are similar, with formidable pass rushes and underappreciated quarterbacks. AFC West lead writer Christopher Hansen feels these similarities will make for a closely fought contest. This will be the sixth consecutive year the Chiefs play the Bills, but the first time they've both been above 500. Almost no one is talking about these 5-3 teams, despite the fact that they're both currently among the best in the AFC. Both teams have lost only one game to an opponent with a sub-500 record. The Chiefs and the Bills are also surprisingly similar. Both rely on veteran quarterbacks, the running game, and good defenses. Kansas City's defense is the most stingy in the red zone. Sorry about that, everyone. But Buffalo is better in limiting red zone opportunities. Buffalo had struggled to get their running game going due to injuries, which has the potential to be the difference in the game. The chatter will naturally increase about whichever team wins this game, even if both are deserving some love. The Bills will get the good fortune of playing at home after a bye week, so a win may actually mean a lot more to the Chiefs. It was close vote, but Hansen and the slight majority went the Chiefs' way to win their four straight, keeping the pressure on the division-leading Broncos in the AFC West. Vin picks the Kansas City Chiefs. Miami at Detroit. Told you that the NFL was just full of surprises. When the 2014 schedule was announced, it was doubtful that many people circled Week 10 meeting between the Dolphins and Lions in Detroit as a game with big postseason implications. And yet, once again, here we are. The Lions have ridden the NFL's top-ranked defense to first place in the NFC North, coming out of their bye week. The 5-3 Dolphins had the most impressive victory in Week 9, filled with impressive wins, demolishing the San Diego Chargers 37-0 in Miami. AFC East lead writer Eric Friends looks for the Dolphins to keep the momentum going into Motown. The Lions and Dolphins are both on a roll headed into this game, and the Lions have the benefit of a bye week, but the Dolphins have really turned a corner over the past 3 weeks. The Lions' lack of commitment and ineffectiveness in the running game could be their bane against the talented Dolphins' secondary and athletic pass rushes. That would do nothing more than basically give Matthew Stafford a long day. Should Matthew Stafford have to drop back 50 to 60 times on Sunday, that would be great for the Dolphins. However, the struggling Lions' ground game will get a boost this week. Not only does the return of Reggie Bush mean that the Lions will have all their horses for the first time in weeks, but star wide receiver Calvin Johnson, Megatron himself, is back at practice as well. Nothing like the fear of Megatron beating teams deep to open things up underneath. Of course, head coach Jim Caldwell wouldn't state definitively that either player will be back this week while speaking with Rod Beard of the Detroit News. I'm not really certain we'll have to put them through their paces, and some guys are still being treated. Toward the end of the week, we'll have a little better idea. We'll direct you toward the injury report. Still, all indications are that both Bush and Johnson will play in Week 10, and that was enough to push the Lions over the top, as of most of our riders. But Vin picks the Miami Dolphins. The Dallas Cowboys against the Jacksonville Jaguars. This game is in London. Things were going so well for Dallas a few weeks ago. The Cowboys were 6-1, and the toast of the league. More than one pundit labeled them the best team in the NFC. Then quarterback Tony Romo got hurt his back, and the Cowboys lost to Washington. Brandon Whedon started for Dallas the week against the Cardinals, and the result was another defeat. The slide has fans in the Cowboys more than a little nervous heading into Week 10 against the Jags in London, especially given the Cowboys' rather distressing tendency to turtle late in the season in the last past few years. If the NFL's national lead writer Ty Schaffner is correct, those fans will be headed from some nervous and apoplectic after Sunday. It's hard for me to admit that I might consider taking Jacksonville over Dallas. It isn't entirely because of the Cowboys quarterback situation. The Jags have been putting together stronger games every single week.
And Whedon, well, or no, the Cowboys only scored 3 meaningful offensive points in Week 9. The Jags have enough players on defense to make it interesting. And if there's anything we learned about London games, it's to be ready for anything. For his part, Tony Romo led ESPN Todd Archer upon his arrival to the UK that he feels optimistic that he'll be ready to play on Sunday. He's progressing. Each day he gets a little bit better and a little bit better. He is improving. And I think you just keep trying to figure out whether or not he's going to be Tony Romo. In the opinion of NFC East leading writer Brad Gagnon, Dallas should be able to survive the one win against the Jags, Romo or no Romo. Tony Romo should be back, Gagnon wrote, and he really is a difference maker, but I think Dallas' D is good enough to survive the Jaguars anyway. Apparently, the overwhelming majority of our voters agree. Vin picks the Dallas Cowboys. The 49ers at the New Orleans Saints. The San Francisco 49ers are in trouble. After losing in stunning controversial fashion to the St. Louis Rams in Week 9, the 49ers sit at 4-4, a team that many pegged as the NFC Super Bowl representative in 2014 before the season is now in very real danger of not even making the playoffs at all. While speaking to Sports Illustrated, 49ers legend Jerry Rice theorized that the constant rumors swirling around the team regarding head coach Jim Harbaugh's future may be taking a toll on the players. The team, they try to say, well, we're not affected by it, but you are, because the coach and GM have to make every crucial decision that are really going to benefit the team. There's a lot going on with that organization right now, and I think it's starting to hurt the players in that locker room. I think after the 24th season, Harbaugh's probably gone. This week, the 49ers draw the New Orleans Saints team that's undefeated at home this season, and the NFC West lead writer Sean Tomlinson wrote that the 49ers suddenly porous offensive front may be the team's undoing in the Superdome. Colin Kaepernick has been sacked 14 times over the 49ers' last 2 games. For some perspective on how this offensive has been, 5 quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Joe Flacco, and Brian Hoyer, and Andrew Luck have been sacked 14 times or less over the entire season. Good luck, Cameron Jordan. With 15 of 16 riders taking the Saints this week, our experts, especially Tomlinson, may be pretty busy Week 11 covering the growing collapse of the suppressed Super Bowl contending San Francisco 49ers. Ben picks the New Orleans Saints. The Tennessee Titans at the Baltimore Ravens. Paul Kaharsky of ESPN reports the first-year head coach Ken Whisenhunt will be the first to say the first half of the 2014 season did not go as well for the Tennessee Titans as he would have hoped. None of us were happy with how the first 8 games went. It's different to have a break in the middle of almost halfway in the 17-week season. You get caught up in the week's preparation. You lose sight of what you really need to focus on getting better because you're trying so hard to assess what you did the week before and then prepare for the week's next opponent. So we got a chance to look at what we've done, areas we need to improve. I think the real message for us is we've got to get better. We need to show improvement in the areas where we haven't been close to being good enough. Unfortunately for the Titans, the scheduling gods didn't do the team any favors coming out of the Week 9 bye. Despite the fact that the Baltimore Ravens are 5-4, last week's blowout loss to the hated Pittsburgh Steelers dropped the Ravens into an AFC North cellar. AFC North leader Andrea Hanks expects Baltimore squads with their backs against the wall to come out swinging Sunday at home. The Ravens were embarrassed on national television by the Steelers, but revenge isn't the only thing Ravens will be looking at when they face the Titans. Ben picks the Baltimore Ravens. The Steelers at 6-3 at the New York Jets. They're 1-8. On the surface, this would appear to be one of the easiest calls of Week 10. After all, the Jets have lost 8 in a row, allowing the most touchdown pass in the league this season by a sizable margin. That is not a stat that bodes well heading into a matchup with the quarterbacks who've thrown 12 scoring strikes in the past 2 games alone. However, the NFC East lead writer Brad Gagnon thinks that the obvious pick is not necessarily the best situation. The Steelers are red hot and the Jets are as cold as it gets. But this is a crazy league and New York is still a very strong defensive team with a strong defensive front. Pittsburgh hasn't been very good on the road and I have a feeling we may be overlooking gangrene. Ty Schalter is also on board with the upset express. When what goes up must come down, the physics dictate Ben Roethlisberger stops throwing 6 touchdown passes every game very, very soon. The Mike Vick experience ended prematurely against Kansas City, and he's set to start against a less intimidating Steelers defense. If Rex Ryan's got any magic left up his sleeve, he'll pull it out in the homestand. With that said, AFC's lead writer Eric Friends isn't buying the ticket.
Is Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger passed the past two games against the New York Jets? In Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger's past two games against the New York Jets, he has completed 77% of his passes for 539 yards, three touchdowns. In his past two games this season, he's completed 75.6% of his passes for 862 yards and 12 touchdowns. He could be poised to put up big numbers yet again against the Jets. Kiddie Pool deep secondary. Vin picks the Steelers. Atlanta at Tampa Bay. In a football game, if a football game happens in Tampa but no one cares, does that game make a sound? We're going to find out Sunday when the Atlanta Falcons travel to face the Buccaneers in a battle of awful defensive and massive disappointments. The Falcons destroyed the Buccaneers 56-14 in Atlanta back in September, a game that Atlanta led 49-0 at one point. As lopsided as that contest was, Falcons quarterback Desmond Trufant told Michael Cunningham of the Atlanta Journal-Star that he expects the Buccaneers to be much tougher the second time around. We know it's not going to be the same game. They're going to come out at us with their best shot. Anytime you have a game like that with an opponent, they're going to come back with something to prove. We just got to be prepared and be ready. AFC North leading writer Andrea Hanks took things one step further, picking the Buccaneers to actually win the game outright. Even though the Buccaneers have one win, they're still the worst team in football. So why did they defeat the Falcons this week? Because the Falcons are on the road. It's hard enough to trust the Falcons in their home dome, but it's impossible to trust them on the road, regardless of the opponent. The divisional component here also makes the Buccaneers a hard team to beat, more so than usual. The talent scales do seem to tip in Atlanta's favor, but there's no way to believe that will make a significant difference for a team that does not travel well. The majority of our experts went with the Falcons, however, although in a way, you could say that the winner of this game will actually lose. That is, lose valuable jockeying points in position for the 2015 draft. Vin picks, yep, the Falcons. The 6-2 Broncos at the 0-8 Raiders. According to Odd Sharks, the Denver Broncos opened a 10.5-point favorite over the Oakland Raiders. I wouldn't bet money on Oakland on this game if you doubled that. Simply put, last week's beatdown of the Broncos in Beantown was the worst possible thing that could have happened to the Raiders. Now, rather than a possible trap game, the Raiders get an angry Peyton Manning and a Denver team trying to remain a game up on Kansas City in the AFC West. However, the National Football League writer Mike Tannier believes the Raiders will keep this one close, more so than many expect. Don't expect a blowout, and the over-under around 49 is no guarantee. Young defenders DJ Hayden and massive Justin Ellis began exerting themselves in the last few games. Hayden looked very good against the Seahawks, though he still must cut down on sloppy penalties. The Raiders will provide just enough run defense, pass, rush, and coverage to force Peyton Manning into a sloppy game. That said, the Raiders' offense can be beaten in the trenches all day by the Broncos. I see 23-10 type of a game, though the game won't be quite as close as the score. AFC lead writer Christopher Hansen, on the other hand, agrees with us both to an extent. One of the best teams against one of the worst teams. A blowout special, right? The Raiders had a horrible half of football against the Seahawks last week in the Pacific Northwest, but came back in the second half and made a game of it. The Raiders have put together a solid offense and a solid defense, but never both for an entire game. If they put it together for the first time Sunday, they could at least keep the score close. Over the last four games, the Raiders' margin of defeat is down to just, 7.5 points per game, from 13 points early in the season. The Raiders have some young talent on defense, on the defense side of the ball, and that could slow down Manning if he plays like he did in previous weeks. Of course, the Broncos could take out their frustration for Sunday's debacle in New England on the lowly Raiders. The Broncos played poorly on offense, defense, and special teams. But they are too talented of a team to put back to back-to-back stinkers. The likely outcome is likely a rout, but the old AFC West rivalry games can be wild, especially when the underdog is playing at home. One thing everyone can agree on is that the Raiders will leave Week 10 just as they entered it, winless. Vin picks the Broncos. The St. Louis Rams are 3-5 at the Arizona Cardinals, 7-1. The St. Louis Rams aren't especially a good football team, but if nothing else, they're getting pretty good at making forecasters look like us look silly. After squandering a 21-0 lead against Dallas back in Week 3, the Rams have gotten much better at playing the role of David in Week 7,
The Rams stunned the Seahawks last Sunday in San Francisco, became the latest Goliath to wind up with a lumpy melon and a loss. Now the Rams get their biggest underdog challenge of the year, a trip to the University of Phoenix Stadium to face the team with the NFL's best record at the halfway mark. The Arizona Cardinals may be 7-1, but Josh Weinfuss of ESPN reports that the Redbirds' 23rd-ranked defense still has plenty of room to improve. When the Cardinals are on offense, yards are at a premium. Despite their 7-1 record, the Cards haven't been flawless on offense. Like when Michael Floyd tries to break a big play instead of taking the yards the Dallas Cowboys offered him on Sunday. But with a week of Arizona and coaches to review film and get ready for the St. Louis Rams and come to University of Phoenix Stadium, Floyd won't be likely, backtracking again. Big plays are nice, but moving upfield and getting these easy yards in the case is always easier. NFC West lead writer Sean Tomlinson thinks the Cardinals' best chance generating will be through the air. This will likely become an Andre Ellington show fast. Ellington is averaging 109 from scrimmage per game, and he'll be able to tee off on the league's 29th-ranked defense. That would be the run game. As you can see by the vote, no one's lining up and arguing with him. Vin will pick the Arizona Cardinals. Giants at Seahawks. The Vultures have begun to circle a Big Apple. It's understandable because the 2014 Giants are just about dead. As Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports pointed out, one play from the first half of Monday night's blowout loss to the Indianapolis Colts personifies the mess that is Big Blue this year. Head coach Tom Coughlin thought the Colts' right end, Kobe Fleener, bobbled a pass that was ruled a 21-yard catch on Monday night. Coughlin sought to challenge it. Coughlin sought to challenge it, as is his coaching right. One problem, Coughlin couldn't get his challenge flag out of his pocket. Seriously, couldn't get out of the sock. Seriously, meanwhile, the Colts were in hurry-up, as teams tend to do when there's a close call and there's a chance it can be overturned. Coughlin couldn't rip the red hanky out of his pocket quick enough, so quarterback Andrew Luck hit Fleener again for a 36-yard touchdown before Coughlin could get the damn thing out of his pocket. With the futility reaching near Jets Ian levels, I said near hard to beat the Jets at all futility of late, the Grumblings have begun anew regarding head coach Tom Coughlin's future in New York. Unfortunately, the NFC East lead writer Brad Gannon doesn't see Sunday's game in Seattle as a chance for the Giants to rally the troops. The Giants are just too banged up. They were smoked by the Seahawks at home last year, and this time they have to go on the road to Seattle. It has been the same this season, but this might be a statement game for Seattle. Our entire panel agrees yet another unanimous vote in a late slate that has the potential to be a replete with an ugly game. Vin picks the Seattle Seahawks. Sunday night, my Chicago Bears, a 3-5, go into Lambeau Field in Green Bay. Back in Week 4, the 2-1 Bears played host to the 1-2 Packers. It was supposed to be a statement by the Bears, their chance to demonstrate to everyone that they were ready to take on the NFC North. Oh, they made a statement all right, but it wasn't the one they intended. A 38-17 loss was the beginning of a free fall that has seen the Bears drop 4 of their last 5 games. The last, a humiliating 51-23 loss to the New England Patriots, a game in which the Bears were dominated in every facet. Everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong as of late for the Bears. Quarterback Jay Cutler has taken awful care of the football, and the defense somehow has figured out a way to be even worse than it was last year. Still, defensive coordinator Mel Tucker insists that Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times that the Bears have learned from their last meeting with the Packers, and that the team spent the bye week preparing for what they believe is getting their season back on track. Obviously, you're always going to go back and review and see what you can do better. We've done that, Tucker said. We're looking at making some adjustments the next time we play those guys. Adjustments aside, NFC North lead writer Zach Cruz thinks the biggest disparity between the two teams is one that can only be fixed with coach speak. At 3-5, the Bears are a wounded animal back into a corner. There is upset potential, but can you really trust the Chicago defense against Aaron Rodgers, Mr. 4 touchdowns and 151.4 passer rating in Week 4, or Jay Cutler against Dom Capers' 6 multi-interception games at Green Bay? The gap at quarterback for these two teams remains too large. Given yet another unanimous vote, Week 10's latest games are enough to... Well, they're either going to make you love our experts or hate our experts. Either way it goes, there's no middle ground. As always the case, Vin will pick the Bears because we're just Chicago Bear homers, but it doesn't look good. Panthers at Eagles. All this agreement is getting unnerving. It's especially so when you consider that our entire panel has just picked a team to win that's being quarterbacked by Mark Sanchez. That would be the Philadelphia Eagles. And they did it on purpose. Sanchez actually played pretty well in relief for Nick Foles, who's now hurt, in Week 9 over the Houston Texans. And with Foles out indefinitely with the broken collarbone, head coach Chip Kelly told Phil Sheridan of ESPN he's confident Sanchez can carry that over into Monday night's game in Philadelphia. We'll step this up. Ben picks the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's going to do it for Week 10 of the National Football League. Listen, everybody, have a great weekend. Enjoy this weekend in the National Football League. Be smart with your money. If you're going to the window, remember, do not take the kids' college fund. Don't be stupid, all right? It's your money. You earned it. Be smart with it. In the meantime, have a great weekend. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And we'll see you next time on the VinPix. Peace!
Nothing right, y'all. So there you picks.
You're supposed to have your coffee spill. Forgive me, guys.
So, you go into the window. You're not sure what to do. Do you take the odds on pick? Do you take the sure thing? It's the NFL. There is no sure thing.
Excuse me, guys. 1 week ago, you'd have thought San Diego going to Miami would have been a lock.
You put your San Diego Chargers, little check mark by the box, and walked away with some level of assurance that San Diego was going to certainly handle Miami. And all that happened was a Miami Dolphin beatdown, 37-0. And yes, you were eliminated. And yes, you were offended. You wanted to write Miami a letter, go off on somebody in San Diego about whatever garbage that was that showed up on the field. Either way it goes, the fact is, you simply lost.
This is why we tell you, use your money. Don't take the kid college fund. Be smart with your resources, all right? Be smart with them. It's always fun. It's always fun to play draft. DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever site you go to do your fantasy stuff, great stuff. Have a great time doing it. Just be smart with your money. Whether you're going to the window with $25, $50, $100, just be smart. All right? If it changes your lifestyle, it changes no one else's, God bless you. All right? That's the way to do it. All right? Now, if you hit, it changes everybody's lifestyle. That's also a good thing as well. So good luck to you and your endeavors. Hopefully it goes well. Let's run down one last time what the NFL has on tap for you today. Let's see. Well, again, I'm messing back together. By the way, this new article, do the Vikings want Adrian Peterson? Well, trust me, if they don't, I know 31 teams will line up in a heartbeat. Okay? In a heartbeat. Okay? Article started saying, may I be so bold? Confident, of course, that in of itself is about those who will stay hot. Will they stay hot? Will Tony Romo? Will Ben Roethlisberger throw 6 touchdowns again? Will Demaryius Thomas play out of their minds? Early games right now, Tennessee at Baltimore at 1 o'clock, KC at Buffalo, Miami, Detroit, Dallas, Jacksonville, again, that's one in London. San Francisco, New Orleans also a 1 o'clock game. Pitt and the Jets, a 1 o'clock game. Atlanta, Tampa Bay, the 1 o'clock game. Your afternoon love, Denver at Oakland, St. Louis, Arizona. New York Giants at Seattle, New York Football Giants. Bears Packers get the Sunday night affair, and Monday night, of course, Carolina at Philly. Let's see. Who's your lock this week? Would you call Baltimore a lock to beat Tennessee? Perhaps. Kansas City is certainly not a lock to beat Buffalo, even though Kansas City is very, very hot right now. Miami's turned a corner. They won some games straight in a row. Going into Detroit, it's a tough place to play with Calvin Johnson. Dallas is probably considered your lock because Jacksonville is just kind of bad. But Dallas has a propensity to always lay an egg in November. Keep that in mind. It's November, and Tony Romo has the roughest month in his career every single year. Do you have faith in the Niners going to New Orleans and winning a game? No. Do you have faith in Pittsburgh beating the Jets? That's probably your lock. Pittsburgh beating the Jets is probably your lock. Atlanta, Tampa Bay, not anymore because Atlanta sucks on the road. Denver and Oakland, you know, on paper, Denver should blow Oakland out. So if you've got the Denver Broncos available to you in the survivor pool, you take that. The Arizona Cardinals with the Rams. You probably take Arizona 7-1 right now, playing lights out football. That's probably one you can probably hang your hat on. Seattle, if you've got them available, maybe you hang your hat there. You do not touch Chicago Green Bay, just because while Aaron Rodgers is a bad man and certainly has owned the Chicago Bears in his career, it'll be just your luck. You put money on Green Bay and Jay Cutler and those guys will show up tonight. All right, so avoid those things as best you can, all right? If you've got NFL Red Zone today, enjoy it. All your Red Zone plays, all your touchdowns are available to you, NFL Red Zone. For those of you going to your pregame shows around the nation, your Fox affiliates will have your NFC games, your CBS affiliate will have your AFC games. Enjoy the football day. Find yourself a smile, rub some sunshine on your face, and enjoy what is going to be an awesome day. 5 minutes left in the ride, so before you do anything else, if your grill is fired up and you got something good on it, Go out there and take a real good whiff of that good food. You're going to be partaking of pretty quickly. If you've got some happy, healthy kids today, chalk it up to a blessing from the big man upstairs and call yourself ready to enjoy an awesome Sunday. Get your whatever libation you're going to do. Stay out of trouble. We want to see you back here every single week. Only on the Fast 60 Minutes Board. And write the number down, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. For those of you chatting knuckleheads, I thank you guys. You guys are hilarious. You keep us on edge sometimes. It's kind of funny. You really, really believe that Blake Bortles is a savior out there, huh? All right, well, good on you. Hopefully that works out for you. Follow us on Facebook at the Fast 60 Minutes in Sports. Follow us on Twitter in the same vein. And we look forward to seeing you all back here happy, healthy, and wonderful 1 week from today with Week 11 in the National Football League. The playoff picture will certainly get a lot clearer over the next few hours today as we'll start to see the true separation of who's going to be there, who's not going to be there, as Week 10 is always a turning point. It is the last six games for all teams from this point forward. Most of your bye weeks are out of the way, so you know, you can be 3-5 right now, but you can't be 3-7 with any real shot at anything. So if you're 4-4, you're still in the hunt. If you're 5-3, you really better be tightening up your bootstraps, putting on your big boy pants, and getting it done. In the meantime, that's going to do it for all of us here at the Fast 60 Minutes of Sports of this week. We love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. To the friends up north in Canada, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. To our friends at the Calgary Stampede, man, hold on, before we shut this thing down, did we check to see how the Stampeders did? I'm sorry, we need to do that. No, that's okay. Let's see, I need the official side of the Canadian Football League. It's a Grey Cup time up there. Why is that important? Seriously? Let's see. Okay, so the Stampeders took care of the BC Lions 33-16. Grand matchup set, Grey Cup playoffs ready to start. This is when football even in Canada gets a little bit fun. All right, so here, what are we looking at? Let's see the game tracker. We know the Stampeders have been the hottest team there. Let's see. Eastern semifinal, BC Lions, Montreal Alouettes. Western semifinal, Saskatchewan against the Edmonton Eskimos. That means Calgary must have a bye. This is the first round of playoffs. They're going to get ready to rock and roll. A couple of years ago, when being in Canada, the actual Stampeders made it to the Grey Cup and were the favorite in the list and basically got drubbed by the Alouettes. Looking for my Calgary Stampeders to actually have a game or a series of games where they can simply look, if you've never been up to Calgary, Alberta, it is just a beautiful city, beautiful people. It's incredibly clean to be 1.6 million strong. Just great food, great atmosphere, great people all the way around. So if you get a chance, go on up there. It's the Canadian Olympic City. Where, for those of you who have ever seen the movie Cool Runnings, remember the Jamaican bobsled team, that's where all that actually occurred. And that bobsled itself is still up there on the side of, what's the name of that place? Cowboys, I think is the name of the place. Anyway, it's basically a shit kicker bar, basically. But nonetheless, you'll see the bobsled mounted to the side of the building out there where all that took place. Just a tremendous history. And the history of hockey is there. History of Olympics is there. Just a lot of great memorabilia, and again, a lot to learn. If you're into the Olympic Games, there's a ton there with Winter Olympic stuff there. The ski slopes, the ski lifts, and the ski jump is all still there. It's kind of scary because when you look at where they started, where they come down, and how fast they get up to, you're not ready for that. None of us are. All right. Anyway, once again, thank you all for being part of the Fast 60 Minutes Sports. Good luck with your voting today. Most of you have 1 hour now to put in your fantasy rosters. If you're going to the window, you got 1 hour to put your bets down on your sportsbook pages. Have yourself a great day. If you're playing your video games, good luck with what you're doing. If you're playing franchise modes or online, good luck with everything you're putting your hands to. All this and more. We see you all 1 week from today with bells on and a smile on, only on the Fast 60 Minutes Sports. My name is Vinny Moore. You guys have a great day. We'll see you 1 week from today. Bye, Furlings.